Okay, our previous lesson that we spent several weeks discussing is the importance of having patience in the midst of tribulation. To be steadfast in dealing with tribulation, to ensure that we always act righteously whenever we are provoked, whether that provocation is a chastisement from God or be it the cause of some evil that might befall us, that there is always the need for patience. We made mention of the text of James chapter 1 as we were making application of these principles, the importance of recognizing that when we enter into various trials, that is a reason for rejoicing. Not that the trials themselves are easy to endure, but rather when an individual has endured those trials, he has proven himself, and it has helped him to develop patience. And so he is a more mature individual with a stronger character as a result of those things. And that certainly is worth rejoicing. So we spent the end of our time last week discussing the two questions that are found in this lesson, the first two of the three. How can understanding God's view of time and our own views differ help us with our efforts to become patient? I wanted to just acknowledge there the fact that we are temporally bound, that we are creatures of time. And so while we might consider something as taking a long period of time with regard to God answering our prayer or the achievement of relief from any trial or tribulation, if we can bring ourselves in maturity and as we examine God's Word, understand that God does not deal with time as do we. And that we should humble ourselves to acknowledge and realize that God's the one in control and that God will take care of these things in His time. And that is, I think, the significance of the text there in Hosea, the 12th chapter, which was the foundational text of our study, that we are to wait on the Lord. We are to wait patiently on the Lord. The second question is where we ended up, make a list of present-day evils, things that seem to prosper, and asking the question, is there any example beyond the scope of victory through our faith in God? I'm not sure if we really spent much time in a discussion of that. I didn't think to go back and check where we had finished. But I do want to make note of the fact that there are many bad things that happen to us in life. Things that are the common lot of all men, things that might be especially egregious in our particular circumstances, our particular time. It may be that we're talking about war or pestilence. It may be talking about famine or flood. It may be talking about specific illnesses, diseases that we suffer. It may be persecution that we suffer as Christians. There are an awful lot of bad things that can happen to us. But what the Bible reveals very clearly is that God is in control. And the text from Romans 8 is the one that I constantly go to describe that we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And the fact that neither life nor death, principalities or powers, things present, or things to come, there is nothing that is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So we recognize, again, this is something that is helpful to us as we acknowledge that God ultimately is able to give us the victory despite whatever the world may throw at us, that is something that will allow us to be joyful even in the midst of tribulation and trial. So some of these things that we're talking about are attempts to get us to have different perspectives, to understand and realize that though it may be dark or seem to be dark, that ultimately our burden is light and our victory is assured. The book of Revelation, I suppose, will be an entire, in fact, that's the last of the, going through the syllabus and the 20th lesson in this series is going to be basically a quick survey of certain passages in the book of Revelation. Because the book of Revelation is a book that's written to Christians who are in the midst of very dark times, midst of great persecution. And the imagery of the book is indicative of the victory that we sustain in Christ. And so it's applicable, though it had its primary purpose to give comfort to those to whom it was initially written. It is certainly applicable to us throughout the ages until Christ comes again. Victory is found in Jesus, so we want to acknowledge that. The third question, which is where we are in our study in Lamentations chapter 3, is using this text, verses 26 through 30, as a model. The question is, what are some specific things I can do to show that I am enduring patiently through my tribulations. So this is a practical way of waiting on the Lord that are mentioned in this particular text that we want to talk about. If you'll notice, beginning in verse 26, going through verse 30 of Lamentations 3, it's good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That's a phrase similar to that found in Hosea chapter 12. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach. Now, I will hasten again to note that the time in which Jeremiah's lamentations were written, Israel was rebellious, and it was, in fact, because of the sin of the people that this lament is proclaimed, this dirge is given by the weeping prophet. So what they were suffering on this particular occasion was self-inflicted. The chastisement of God visited upon them because of their own ungodliness. So in effect, we can say that they were deserving of what they were receiving with regard to the evil that had befallen them. So there is something to be said for that contextually, because ultimately he's basically saying here, you should grin and bear it because you're getting what you deserve. But I think there is that broader application of this concept of waiting silently. So what are some of the things that are mentioned in this text, or other things that we might bring into this discussion, that I can do that give evidence, or they are things that obviously are so, whenever these difficult things in life happen to me, that are indicative of the fact that I am indeed waiting on the Lord, and I am showing patience? Yes, Roger.
Try to get away from yourself a little bit, maybe find somebody else to help. Find somebody else to encourage that's maybe worse off than you are. Maybe that, whatever their condition is. You know, always find somebody that needs encouragement or physical assistance, whatever.
Yeah, it's very seldom that you're really the bottom of the barrel. You know, as I talk about scraping the bottom of the barrel, almost always, if you're having difficulties, and again, remember that when we're talking about this, those difficulties may be self-inflicted, it may be God's chastisement because of sin, but there are other times when it's not. But it's seldom that you're the worst one. There are usually others who are worse off than you are. And so becoming selfless is an important consideration. I think that's what Roger is indicating. If you can get outside of self and put your attention on other individuals and be mindful of their needs, that will be something that will be helpful in dealing with it. So that's one good point. Anybody else? Yes,
sir. Often we have problems, we say, oh, it's me, and why is this happening to me? I think if we sit back and wait patiently for God to show us the way, that God will eventually show us that this is good for us and things will be all right.
Okay. So that's something that we can, I think, actively focus on, certainly. When difficult things are happening to us, they are, again, occasions for growth. And if we're looking for the silver lining, actively looking for that silver lining, it may be that we can reach that point to where we see the benefits that come our way as a result of what it is that we're suffering, which can help to get us through that difficulty. And also perhaps bring that feeling of suffering to an end more quickly. So that's something to be mindful of as well. One of the things that I wanted to mention from this particular text, it seems to me that the prophet here is indicating to them that you need to stop griping and complaining about your lot. And I think that's one of the common problems. I've used these two women a number of times in other lessons illustration, but also as we introducing this, two women that I knew in Tucum Care, who had very different views of their current state, despite the fact that they both were suffering. Specifically, it was from ill health. And so they were very limited. One had become very bitter as a result of that. The other was never an individual to complain and put on a happy face. And it was very much more content with her lot in life as a result of the effort she put in to have that good demeanor. And I think that one of the, I mean, it's a difficult thing to simply say, you need to stop feeling bad about things, or to stop focusing on those things. And I understand, especially in light of the fact that there are occasions when sometimes, you know, an individual's depression can be something that is not merely a psychological thing. It can be as a result of chemical imbalances. There are other times when an individual has the right to be sorrowful and to feel sorrowful because the circumstances of his life dictate that. While we can always have peace, and while we always can have a superseding joy in our lives, the fact is, happiness is somewhat dependent upon the actual circumstances of your life. So if you are in a time of mourning because of the loss of a loved one, you're not going to be particularly happy at that particular time. So that kind of thing is understandable. Having said that, I think that a circumstance can be exacerbated, get worse, or it can be prolonged as a result of the simple mindset of the individual, rather than looking for that silver lining, as indicated in Jerry's comment, or by striving to make an effort to be positive in your outlook. Instead, you turn in on yourself. And this murmuring and complaining and the griping and the feeling sorry for self is something that can actually, it can be prolonged long beyond the time that the provocation or chastisement is present. An individual can still be bitter, still be suffering emotionally as a result of murmuring and complaining. Not to mention the fact that we are actually told not to murmur and complain. That's actually a command that we're given by God. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul indicated the importance of that. So murmuring and complaining certainly was inappropriate for the Jews at this time because they were responsible for their own predicament. But the idea of notice in the text there in verse 29, let him, or verse 28, let him keep silent. Verse 29, let him put his mouth in the dust. This is kind of an indication that you need to stop complaining about it so you can keep your mouth shut. So I think that's one thing that we can mention in your text. Anything else? Yes, David.
There's a one quote in the New Testament. I can't quote the whole thing, but get along with others that it really depends on you. And thought I had it down better than that, but you know what?
Peaceably with all men.
Remember,
I forget the reference.
Yeah, no, what?
Well, I said I forget the reference, but I do remember the quote. As much as
right, there, I mean, exactly like that, but.
Okay, good point. Yeah, I mean, there are certain things that are outside of your ability to. In other words, sometimes you're going to suffer, and there's nothing you can do about it. But you can at least partly control how you react to it, and that's of course the significance of James chapter 1. Yes, Jim.
And that translates into other people being built up. I mean, y'all know I'm very biased for my father, but he's gone through a long time now. And he said this morning, well, today's going to be a better day than yesterday. And it's probably not physically for him. But that's his attitude. And it makes me step back and go, now, why was I whining?
Yeah, you certainly can build other people up by having that positive attitude. That's a good point. The other thing that I wanted to note from this text is it's found in verse 29 when he says, let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. I think it's something that is indicative of a humbling of self. An indication of being brought low and allowing yourself to be brought low. You know, the idea of humility, as indicated in Philippians chapter 2, humility is that which allows an individual to get outside of themselves. Roger indicated the need to do that. If you humble yourself, and you're looking out for others rather than simply your own interests, and you're mindful of other people, that selflessness is something that is, I think, key in all of these things. So humility, not murmuring, complaining, and again, because it's appropriate in this context, consider the fact that some of this may be your own fault. Then we can come to grips with the fact that sometimes we're responsible for some of our own problems, that is something that can be helpful to us. Because one, it'll bring us to repentance, cause us to make changes. But secondly, if there is that acknowledgement that we, in effect, are deserving what we're getting, if indeed we have sinned, I think that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, when it talks about the repentance of the Corinthians, the vehemence that they felt, and they were vehement in their desire to prove themselves, but they were also, the statement said, indignant. They were indignant toward themselves. And sometimes that indignation that we feel towards self is appropriate because it gets us to understand the changes that are needed. So those are several things that are mentioned in Lamentations that I thought were beneficial. Josh, did you have something?
I appreciate you going into the sometimes cheerful realm of things, because that's kind of what I was thinking in regards to, and I understand it's not an exact parallel, but Jesus' teaching on that. We can't put ourselves in situations that are less than comforting or comfortable, sometimes through neglect of doing a thing, we can end up, I don't know, instead of getting a splinter out, we can leave a splinter in the fester and then ignore that, and then in the end we're having to go to the doctor. Okay. But even in things where we decide it's not harmful, but we decide to put it off for whatever reason, like eating and fasting, Jesus' instructions were not to be like the hypocrites who disfigure themselves by tossing ash on their face and stuff, but clean yourself up, oil your head, sleep your hair back, and put on a happy smile.
Yeah, you know, there's it's not in any way invalidate the very real problems with regard to mental health challenges, chemical imbalances, those kinds of things. But so often our problem is not that. So often it is a matter of wallowing in self pity rather than recognizing maybe partly responsible, but in the other part, the benefit of simply striving to be positive about life, to look outside of self to others and such, that can be very beneficial in dealing with these things. You know, you've heard so many of their cliches, their tried and true statements concerning the, you know, a servant heart is a happy heart, you know, the idea of actually being productive with regard to helping others and looking outside of self is always something that's beneficial to your own self-esteem, your own mental outlook, and certainly as a result of that has an application with regard to your spiritual maturity and growth if you can have that positive response to these trials and tribulations. All right. Yes, Jerry. Justin, excuse me.
I don't know that it really matters if it's your fault. I worry that people would use that as some kind of almost excuse. Well, I deserve this, so... And then still end up with a wrong attitude about the situation that they're in. Paul certainly had things happen to him that weren't deserved. I suppose they were his fault, and that he went to places and antagonized people and ended up getting rocks thrown at him and such. They weren't his fault, but he always had this correct attitude. None of the things that happened to Job weren't his fault, but he kept that attitude. And it says later in the same passage here in Lamentation, is it not both from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth? Why should any living mortal or any man offer complaint in view of his sins? And part of that has to do with, you know, your separation from God caused by you. And part of that has to do with your lowliness and being sure that you're humble and you're coming to God. It says after that, let us examine and probe our ways and let us always return to the Lord. And keeping that right attitude, I mean, if you go and you sin and you get a negative consequence from that, you go and you don't sin and you get a negative consequence from that, both of those are opportunities for you to let your light shine in the example of two.
Yeah. In one case, there may be the added necessity of repentance, which is I think, the distinction that's made. You're right. It's irrelevant as to whether or not it's your fault that you're in the circumstance you are in or not, whether it has to do with your sin or the sin of another or a simple happenstance, the circumstance of place and time. The fact is that there are opportunities for growth, opportunities to be a good example to those who are outside and to your brethren, as Gene said. So that's an important consideration.
When you said, what can we do to show it? I wasn't sure if you meant to show it to other people or to show it to God. Because one thing is people, it's humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. What does that mean? People say, well, I'm not going to pray. God knows what I need, or God knows what I'm thinking. There you're called to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. No one else is looking. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. What does that mean?
I don't think I had actually any preference, because it could be threefold. Again, as Gene indicated, it could be an example to others that strengthens them. Certainly isn't this necessary when you humble yourself that you do so before God. Because if you're not doing that, then anything else is merely superficial. But also, I think it's something that you should be mindful of yourself. So any of those three would be applicable. I don't think that, remember, when I write this, then 3 months pass before we actually read it again and study it. So sometimes I forget what I was thinking of when I asked the question. That can be a challenge. Okay, very good discussion on that. I want to go ahead and get on it.